And we're talking about brokenness. You have the handout in your notes. Are we using the term biblically? Now, if you look at the bottom of that cover page, just before you flip to where we'll focus on most of the notes, let me walk through this description here. We often hear Christians today talk about, and in quotation marks, brokenness. But are we using the term biblically? In response to this question, we're going to reflect biblically. And here's the key, not only on the word brokenness, but also on the wider and important issues of how we evaluate the word and phrases people use in the modern biblical counseling movement. Now, I'll be honest, I've not taught, per se, a session like this on brokenness before. I did a blog post on my own RPM site, got a lot of good feedback on that. Then we posted it on the Biblical Counseling Coalition site. And again, a lot of feedback on that. And so Rob said, you know, you got a lot of feedback on the brokenness part, and I think it hit a positive nerve. And that nerve is, we use various words, and in fact, in a moment, I'm going to have us think about some of those different words, sometimes in our biblical counseling movement, that make us a little bit nervous. And so when someone else is using a word that makes us a little bit nervous, how do we walk through that? How are we good Bereans to figure out what does that person really mean by that word? The words we use, do we support and define and develop those biblically? And so we want to think about that together. In fact, on page one then of your handout, let's begin our time thinking about that. We say pondering together, what's in a word? And you have there that first question. And I want you to be thinking about this in just a moment, just kind of shout out some. What are examples of words used in counseling world, Christian biblical counseling world, Christian living discussions that make you just a little bit nervous when you hear them? Maybe because the definitions seem a bit fuzzy, or maybe because the connotation or usage has been used in the world. And I gave a couple of examples to prime the pump. Maybe sometimes you hear the word spiritual formation. It's like, is that Eastern mysticism? What are they talking about? Nervous breakdown. What is actually used by that? Mental illness. We might hear that word, though, and get a little bit nervous. So shout out some words that make you a little bit nervous. Addiction, bipolar, ADHD, self-esteem, yes, emotional abuse. So there's a lot of words. I had jotted down a few others that sometimes make us nervous. Gay Christian, and we take that on as an identity. Transgendered person. I mean, these are some words we're hearing a lot more. We talk about spiritual formation. How about spiritual direction? Life coach. Now, what's meant by that? Panic attack, PTSD, addiction, disease is used, the disease of alcoholism. Even healing, used like inner healing. Recovery, now used for maybe sexual abuse recovery. Is that the word we want to use? And so there's a lot of words as Christians that make us a little bit nervous. And so this word brokenness is one of those words. And in a moment, we're going to look through four different ways that word brokenness is used, at least one of which I think we really need to be careful about and, in fact, say we disagree with, but several that maybe we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But before we go there, another question for us to think about, redeeming and reclaiming. Should Christians try to redeem and reclaim words that the world, in my opinion, at times has stolen, or should we surrender those words? And we give you some examples to fill in the blanks there, such as psychology, psychotherapy, again, spiritual direction, soul care, or shame. So again, should we try to redeem those words, reclaim those words, give them a biblical definition, or should we be they have been so misused we need to be a little bit at arm's length? Let me just give you a few of my thoughts on this. Let's take, first of all, that word psychology. I mean, what does it mean? It means the study of the soul. Now, ought we as Christians have a biblical study of the soul? I mean, think of the word psychotherapy. The healing of the soul. In fact, the word really has within it the healing of the soul by God. Do we really want to let the world claim that word and we not have it at all? Even a word that maybe gets us really nervous, psychopathology, I mean the pathogen, the disease, the sickness, the sin of the soul. Now, we may or may not want to reclaim those words because there is some baggage that comes with it and some danger because the world has given them so many definitions for so many years. But here's something to think about. Long before Freud gave a modern definition to those three terms, psychology, psychotherapy, psychopathology, there was a biblical psychology and psychopathology and psychotherapy. Franz Dillich, writing just years before Freud began to write, did a study of the history of the term biblical psychology, and he studied it in many different languages, in Greek, in Latin, throughout European history. There is a long history of a biblical psychology. So we need to think that through, even the word spiritual disciplines, which again, there are some books out there on spiritual disciplines that we get nervous about, rightly so. There are some other books on there where maybe not. I mean, one of the spiritual disciplines is solitude. Depending on how we define that, that could be an unbiblical concept. Or Jesus. There are many indications where Jesus went apart in solitude and silence to be with and pray to his Father. Even the phrase meditation. Now, I say that and automatically, right? Some red flags go up. Well, there's an Eastern meditation where you empty your mind, and then there is a biblical meditation, right, where you fill your mind with the Scriptures. So I personally believe that we need to be careful in simply jettisoning some of these words automatically with something of a knee-jerk reaction. I also think we need to be careful. Is it worth the risk? And is it worth the baggage that comes with it? I personally think there is some value in redeeming these words, claiming back some of these words that the world has stolen from us. Now, here's a question that kind of builds on that. Does the Bible teach that we only use words and phrases found in the Bible? Now, that's kind of a rhetorical question because we really know the answer to that, right? I mean, we couldn't even speak if we had to do that. When biblical counselors are talking about sin and suffering, should they only use words or phrases found in the Bible? Now, we could never talk about the Trinity, right, if we only used a word or phrase in the Bible. In one of J. Adams' first book, he talked about the halo effect, kind of identifying and watching the body language. That's not a phrase in Scripture. Does that make it unbiblical? Now, this was really a trick question because filling in the blank there is the phrase biblical counselor brought together as one word found in the Bible. Now, you can find counselor in the Bible. You cannot find the phrase brought together in one word of biblical counsel. Now, certainly, nouthetic, which is something that we've built our model on, paracletic, the caring ministry of coming alongside and helping. But even this word biblical counselor is not a word that we find in the Bible. So I think we need to be careful about our standards and we need to be consistent. When someone's using a word and we say, well, wait a second, that word's not used in the Scripture. Well, we've got to step back and say, well, biblical counselor technically is not used in the Scripture either. Really, what's important is how we historically, how we define and develop a word and how we use a word. So moving a little bit closer then to the point of the morning, how to assess these words. If someone is using an extra-biblical word, and we all do, a word or phrase, and it makes us nervous, how should we assess whether or not their use of the term is biblical? Now, two things we're going to look at as we use brokenness as an example for that is the idea of being good Bereans, that we really study what the Scriptures have to say about that word, and that's what we want to model by God's grace this morning with the word brokenness. And the other is that we really use the Matthew 18 principle, especially if we know the person, and we go to that person and we talk with them. Now, again, the most important issue here is not exactly just the word we use, but how the individual is developing, defining, and using that word. And let me give you a very personal example here. As some of you know, my first two books were a theology of soul care and spiritual direction. Oh, boy. And a methodology of soul care and spiritual direction, not words necessarily always used in our modern biblical counseling movement. And then my lifelong friend, Steve Byers, who knew me, had read my stuff, and trusted me because of a long relationship, asked me to be the founding executive director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. And some dear folks who 6 years ago had never really heard of me and now are dear friends of mine had the maturity to come up to me and say, you know, you use some words and phrases that make me a little bit nervous. I trust Steve. Steve trusts you. Can we have a conversation? To me, that was a beautiful Matthew 18 sort of principle. By the way, what Steve would say if they went to him, and you know Steve, he would say, first of all, have you talked to Bob? Which may be why they were going to talk to me. And have you read his stuff? It's really what we're talking about today. Have you read a person's stuff and taken it through the Berean grid of, is it really biblical? And then have you talked to the person? And I don't want to make this a personal issue for me. This is an issue in our movement that I think we need to be wise and careful and gracious about. when people are using words that make us nervous, let's do the Matthew 18 principle and talk to them, and let's be good Bereans and work through these issues.